imagine with me. A pastor moves to a new community to shepherd the congregation there. He's fully convinced that this is where God wants him. The pastor, as he moves to this community, to this congregation, he invests his time. He invests his energy. He gives himself to this congregation. He grows over time to care deeply for this group of God's sheep that God's called him to. Much to the pastor's surprise and disappointment, God chooses to move this man to a new ministry somewhere else for a short time. He is surprised because he was going all in with and for this church. He was seeking to help this congregation to love God above all else. He was helping them to grow in Jesus through the Word. He's disappointed because he's no longer going to be able to continue this ministry with them. He has to move. He has to move on. But as he begins this new ministry somewhere else, he's very interested in hearing and knowing how that church is doing. He's very interested. He wants to know. He wants to know if they've kept moving forward with loving each other inside the church and loving those outside of the church. He wants to know if they are still committed to the Word of God and to God Himself. Now, one day, the pastor receives a letter from a member of this congregation where he had been. This member shares the many ways in which God has worked in this congregation. As he reads, he learns how they have remained faithful to God during and after finding a new pastor. He reads how they have loved each other very well, how they've cared deeply for each other and sought to encourage each other through the transition and since then. He reads of how they have held tightly to God's word, how God's word has been the rock in the difficult times. As this pastor reads this letter, he's moved to tears of joy. When the letter ends, his only response is to bow his head in prayer, thanking God for how God has worked in the lives of this congregation. He has great joy because this congregation has remained faithful to God. It's merely a story that I made up, but it's based on the book of 1 Thessalonians. Pastors care deeply about the churches they serve. Churches can bring great joy and great sadness to their pastors. Are you bringing joy to your pastor? Let's read 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 1 to 13. 1 Thessalonians beginning in chapter 3, verse 1. Therefore, when we could no longer stand it, we thought it was better to be left alone in Athens, and we sent Timothy, our brother and God's co-worker in the gospel of Christ, to strengthen and encourage you concerning your faith, so that no one will be shaken by these afflictions. For you yourselves know that we are appointed to this. In fact, when we were with you, we told you in advance that we were going to experience affliction. And as you know, it happened. For this reason, when I could no longer stand it, I also sent him to find out about your faith, fearing that the tempter had tempted you and that our labor might be for nothing. But now Timothy has come to us from you and brought us good news about your faith and love. He reported that you always have good memories of us and that you long to see us, as we also long to see you. Therefore, brothers and sisters, in all our distress and affliction, we were encouraged about you through your faith. For now we live if you stand firm in the Lord. how can we thank God for you in return for all the joy we experience before our God because of you? As we pray very earnestly night and day to see you face to face and to complete what is lacking in your faith. Now may our God and Father himself and our Lord Jesus direct our way to you. And may the Lord cause you to increase and overflow with love for one another and for everyone, just as we do for you. May he make your hearts blameless in holiness before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus with all his saints. Our big idea for this morning is God wants you to bring joy to your pastor. God wants you to bring joy to your pastor. We first bring joy to our pastor by remaining faithful in suffering. Paul was brought great joy by the church of Thessalonica because they remained faithful in suffering. And we see that in verses 1 through 5 this morning. God wants you to bring joy to your pastor by remaining faithful in suffering. We live in a world cursed by sin, and as a result, each one of us will face suffering. The suffering we face may come from within, from our own sinfulness. It may come from without, someone else. Suffering will come if we are pursuing lives of faithfulness to God. Paul has just finished, in the previous verses, communicating his pastor's heart for his friends at Thessalonica. We saw there that he longed for them. He wanted to be with them. He worked diligently to be with them, but he wasn't able to. And so out of this deep care and concern for them, he writes chapter 3. And in chapter 3, Paul will make strikingly clear to them and to us that he cares for them and that he's willing to do whatever it takes to minister to them and to serve them. In many ways, chapter 3 reveals Pastor Paul's heart for this church. As you read through the New Testament, you find Paul being very teaching-oriented in his communication. And not always do you hear his heart for the people. Another place would be in Acts chapter 20, where Paul is speaking to the Ephesian elders. He's departing, and in the end of that chapter, he says they may never see him again. He cares for them deeply. Paul was a very learned, knowledge man, but yet had a deep passion for the people that he pastored and shepherded. He valued them. Paul had done everything within his power to make a return visit to Thessalonica, but it was not a possibility. And we learned that in the previous passage in verses 17 through 20 of chapter 2. Now, Paul, Silas, and Timothy make the difficult decision to split up their ministry team. They have this team that they're serving God faithfully in this area, and they make the difficult decision to say, it's time for us to part ways with one of our members. Paul could no longer wait. He had to send a close companion if he himself could not go. If you look at verse 1, Paul believed that all would be better if Timothy was sent to Thessalonica and that he and Silas were left alone in Athens. He thought it would be better for the team to break up for the sake of this church. He greatly longed to be with this church but could not go himself. Therefore, he willingly sacrifices a needed member of his ministry team for the sake of this congregation. He wants them to grow, to love God, and says, I have to send Timothy. Now, you might think, well, if I can't have Paul, Timothy's kind of a letdown, isn't it? Timothy wasn't just a nobody, a low-level co-worker of Paul's. Paul says of Timothy in verse 2, and we sent Timothy, our brother. He calls Timothy our brother, not just Paul's, not just Silas's, not just Paul and Silas, but this congregation. He was their brother. He was a fellow believer in Christ. he had the same love for God. Also, Timothy is God's co-worker in the gospel, meaning Timothy is working with God for the gospel's proclamation to others. And for Paul, this was enough. This was enough for Timothy to be qualified to strengthen the faith of this congregation. Timothy's mission, as I just said, was to strengthen and encourage this church concerning their faith. He was to help them deepen their faith in God. As he went, his task was to send their roots down deep in God. He was to encourage them to keep on believing the truth about God and his son Jesus. Why was this needful? Why was Timothy's mission with this church needful? It was needful because the church at Thessalonica was enduring suffering for their faith. Look at verses 3 and 4. He says, so that no one will be shaken by these afflictions. There were afflictions and suffering facing this congregation. Their faith in God was being tested. And Paul was concerned, as we see in verse 5, that they were giving up on God because of the suffering. He was concerned that they didn't fully believe that God was enough, that the suffering they were facing was worth giving up on God for. They needed their faith strengthened and encouraged so that they would not be shaken by the afflictions they were facing. Instead, Paul wanted Timothy to help them to have deep-rooted, sturdy faith. Faith that would withstand the suffering that would come. They needed, in these times of affliction and suffering, to lean into God by faith as they faced affliction. It's easy in suffering for us to lean into other things. It's easy for us in suffering to look for the first exit, for freedom from the suffering. But that's not what we see in Scripture. What we see in Scripture is the continual reminder to lean into God and to rest in Him in the face of the difficulties of life. They needed to lean into God by faith as they have faced afflictions. Paul reminds them that they knew suffering was going to come. Look at the end of verse 3. He says, for you yourselves know that we are appointed to this. Paul includes himself in this. We, all believers. While Paul was with them in Thessalonica, preaching the gospel to him, part of what he must have communicated to them was reminding them that responding to the gospel by faith and repentance does not mean life will be easy. Responding to the gospel with repentance and faith does not mean life will always be suffering-free. In fact, a life of faith in God will result in suffering, as Paul states in 2 Timothy 3:12, where he says, in fact, all who want to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. Do you desire to live a life that pleases and glorifies God? A life of faith? Suffering will come. Suffering will come to all who pursue a godly life. Therefore, expect it. Expect that suffering will come. Again, in verse 5, Paul makes it super obvious that he, Paul, is the one who is sending Timothy. Back in verse 1, it says we. And that's true. Paul and Silas and Timothy made the decision. But ultimately, it was out of Paul's desire for this church that he sends Timothy. Now, why does he do it? Well, verse 5 says, specifically from Paul, that he desires to know that his effort in preaching Jesus to them was fruitful or not. Were they faithful to God? He desires to know if in response to the suffering, had they given up? Had they quit? when suffering of any kind comes into our lives, we can be tempted to give up on God. We can wonder why God would allow something like this to happen. In the face of suffering, do we still believe that God is good, that he is sovereign, that he is holy, that he is righteous, that he is just, that he is loving? Do we still believe that Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection is all we need? Do we still believe that in our suffering and affliction, that our life is hidden with Jesus in God? That there's nothing that can happen to us that can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. Now, we know from the rest of the passage that the Thessalonian believers did remain faithful in suffering. They were not shaken or uprooted by the persecution they faced. Their faithfulness to God in suffering brought joy to Paul, their pastor. I don't know what is going on in your life. I don't know what suffering or afflictions you have going on. It can be tempting in those moments to run from the truth of God's word, run from God, looking for exits, looking for relief. But the truth is that God wants us to remain faithful in suffering, faithful to him in suffering. Second, we bring joy to our pastors by remaining faithful to the truth. We bring joy to our pastors by remaining faithful to the truth. Truth can be mysterious today. Truth can be mysterious today. Many have difficulty in knowing what is true. Where do I find truth? Sometimes it can be difficult to know what is true in any given circumstance. But as Christians, we know truth. No matter the circumstance, God's word remains true and profitable. We saw this last Sunday as we studied 2 Timothy 3:15 through 17. God's word is enough for all of life, the good and the difficult times. And here, in verses 6 through 13, we will see that the church at Thessalonica was remaining faithful to the truth of God's word. In verse 6, Timothy has now returned to Paul and Silas. And as he does, he brought the good news that this church was remaining faithful to God. Timothy brought the news that they were standing firm in their faith, that the sufferings that they were facing had not shaken them. They were standing firm in faith and love. Paul's concern, and in verse 5, his fear for this church's spiritual condition amidst the suffering was proven unnecessary. They are remaining faithful to God's word. When the suffering came from following Jesus, they did not look for an escape or something easier to follow. Instead, they clung to God's word. As a result, their faith deepened. God's word was where their faith was rooted. Look at verse 6. It says, "But now Timothy has come to us from you and brought us good news about your faith and love." The good news that Timothy brought to Paul and Silas was that they were faithful to God. He also brought a report that their love was also rooted in God's word. They loved what God loved, mainly. They loved their fellow brothers and sisters in Christ there in that congregation. But not only there, their love, as we saw in chapter 1, was seen and known in Achaia and Macedonia as well. Their love wasn't just for their own congregation, their own believers there, but their love went out as they went out spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ. The report that Timothy brought back was one of love, of their love for others. This must have been just incredible news for Paul to read and to hear. Just amazing. He must have been so overjoyed at the reality of the status of this church. Paul rejoices in God's faithfulness in this church in verse 7. He knew it was not this church's efforts, but God who was at work in this congregation. All of this, what he has heard from Timothy, all of this was proof that these believers were truly converted, that the gospel truly had an effect and had changed them. The good news was that Paul had not wasted his time. Their faith and love for God and others was genuine. He had that fear in verse 5 that they had given up. But in verse 6, he realized that they had not. Timothy, in verse 6, also reported that the Thessalonians had good memories of Paul, of Paul's ministry with them. They thought well of Paul. They realized he left far sooner than he would have preferred. And yet, they thought well of him. But not only that, they longed to see Paul again. They thought so well of him that it was their desire to see him as Paul longed to see them. It must have brought Paul such great joy to hear this. Paul and his friends were rejoicing in the faith of this young church. It was a rejoicing that brought Paul and his friends the strength to persevere. The reality is that this church was remaining faithful to God's word. Their faith was rooted in God's word, and as Paul hears it, it's pure joy. He rejoices. It was like giving Paul new life to continue to faithfully preach Jesus for God's glory alone. Look at verse 8. He says, "For now we live if you stand firm in the Lord." Other translations may say, "And now we really live." Their faithfulness to God's word invigorated Paul, gave him new energy to keep going, to be faithful to God, because he saw the fruit of his labor in these believers, that they were genuinely converted and genuinely growing in Jesus. Paul is so overwhelmed by this church's faithfulness to God and his word that he can think of no way to repay God for the joy that God has given him, Paul, through this church. Look at verse 9. He says, "How can we thank God for you in return for all the joy we experience before our God because of you?" He just stops and says, "I don't know how to repay God. God's been so good to me," Paul says, "that I just cannot come up with a way to repay him." Paul knew that he did not deserve to hear that this was happening. But yet, verses 9 and 10 are a response to God's goodness. And, as verse 10 says, Paul's continued desire to see this church face to face. I believe that hearing what he did from Timothy only increased the desire to see this church because he heard they were doing so well. Paul's like, "I want to see my friends, the ones that God is working in their lives." And you might think, after verse 10, that Paul might just break out in a doxology, a praise to God, as he does at the end of Romans 11, in verses 33 to 36, where he just heaps praises on God. But Paul does something else in verses 11 through 13. He prays for his friends. He prays three things to God on behalf of this church. First, Paul prays that God will make a way for him to come to these believers. That hasn't changed. Regardless of Timothy's report, It hasn't changed that he wants to be with them. He wants to serve them. He wants to minister to them. Though he was encouraged by hearing of them, he still wanted to be with them. The second thing Paul prays is, he prays for their love to continue to increase. The love that he's heard from Timothy that they have for each other and for those outside of their congregation, he wants that to increase. Paul desires for them to outdo one another in showing love to each other. And he asks God to make this happen. And then third, in verse 13, Paul prays for their holiness. But it's interesting that he prays for holiness in a particular way. He prays that their holiness, for their holiness, as they will one day stand before Jesus. In the future, stand before Jesus, he prays that they will be holy. The truth is that holiness before Jesus, holiness when Jesus appears, requires the pursuit of holiness now. He wanted this church not just to be holy and blameless before God at Jesus' coming, but he wanted them to be holy and blameless now. Holiness, when Jesus appears, requires holiness now. The faithfulness of this church brought such great joy to Pastor Paul. They remained faithful to the truth of God, which causes Paul to rejoice before God in prayer. We must remain faithful to the truth. There may come times in our lives where we get passionate about things that are not God's word. And that can be okay. But what we need to make sure that we do, as this church did, is remain faithful to the truth of God's word. As we saw last week, a pastor's heart deeply cares for the people God has given him to shepherd. Shepherding people can have great joys. And it's no secret that shepherding people can have great sadness. But the truth from our passage today is that God wants you and me to bring joy to our pastor. We have seen two ways in which we can bring joy to our pastor. These aren't the only ways, but these are two ways in which we can do this. First, we can bring joy to our pastor by remaining faithful in suffering. Second, we can bring joy to our pastor by remaining faithful to the truth of God's word. The way in which we live our lives outside of Sunday proves whether our pastor rejoices in God because of us. Faithfulness on Sunday is good. Being here, being committed to being here is good, and it's great, and it's commendable. But faithfulness throughout the week is also what is needed. So, how should we live because of 1 Thessalonians 3, 1 through 13? I want to leave you with two action steps. They're pretty simple, but I want to leave you with these two fairly simple action steps. First, in what ways are you facing suffering today? In what ways are you facing suffering today? You don't need to respond to that. Just consider the ways in which you may be facing suffering. In your suffering, will you cling to God, to his word? We cling to God by clinging to his word when we want to escape or be free from the suffering that we are in. We cling to God by clinging to his word when we want to escape or be free from the suffering we're in. And we cling to God by spending time thinking about God's word more than we spend time thinking about the suffering or the difficulty that we are facing. We spend our time dwelling upon God. So, in your suffering, I want to encourage you to spend time today thinking deeply about God. Second, are you remaining faithful to the truth of God's word? Are you remaining faithful to the truth of God's word? How much time do we spend in God's word compared to our time with TV, movies, social media, radio, sports, hobbies, or family? Now, none of these things are necessarily wrong, but if we are going to remain faithful to God's word, we must be committed to God's word. So my encouragement for you this morning is, will you commit to increasing your time in God's word by 10 minutes today and the rest of this week? That might seem like a lot, 10 minutes. But I believe that if we will do that, we will grow deeper in our faith as we spend a little bit more time in God's word each day. And as a result, the word of God will change our lives. God wants you to bring joy to your pastor. Father God, thank you for our time in your word this morning. Father, thank you for 1 Thessalonians in which we learn the heart that Paul had for your people. And Father God, I pray that you would help us as a congregation to be an encouragement, to bring joy to our pastor. Father, help us to remain faithful in suffering and to remain faithful to your word. Father, help us to do this. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.